The entire Christian enterprise is predicated upon an amazing, world-transforming revelation. This earth-shattering disclosure was eloquently expressed in what many believe to be the very first Christian hymn ever written and ever sung. It's recorded in our Bibles in the second chapter of the book of Philippians, telling us that Christ Jesus, who though existed in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave. By looking like other men, and by sharing in our human nature, he humbled himself, became obedient, even to the point of death, even to death on the cross. And as a result, God has exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name. It is in this spirit and with this attitude that we who desire to bear the name of Christ into the world are instructed to follow. Knowing Jesus as uniquely the only one with truly any legitimate claim to self-aggrandizement was, in fact, the very one who saw himself not as a king to be worshipped, but as a servant to be used for the needs of others, especially those who might be considered the least of these. His sanctuary was on the streets, his sermons in the public square. His ministry was to those who are not able much to return any favors back to him. His followers, bearing a few exceptions, were penniless and powerless. His fellowship was among those who inhabited and lived out there on the margins. So many find this movement from the heights of the glory of heaven and into realities and struggles and challenges of the real world contained in that beginning word in Greek, second word in the reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, a bridge. A bridge from the heights of all the hopes that we have into the realities of the struggles that we live. Marcus Barth says this movement is from doxology to ethics. And Islam Beringer takes off on this theme by proposing we are here moving from the immanent Trinity to the economic Trinity, from God as worshipped to God as working, from the question of what God means to us and to the question of what we mean to God, from believing in the Trinity and participating in the Trinity, from the fullness of God to being filled with the fullness of God, from the mission of God to the mission of the church. That this wonderful theological truth of the incarnation of God among us and within us is now an invitation for us to be kind and generous and humble and grateful, kind, in giving our lives as servants in this name. I strive for this type of Christianity, to see it in our world, to see it in my own life, to be grateful for what God has done for us in Christ and then translated that into a grateful humility in response. It's a daunting challenge, one I'm not always successful in following, but one that pushes me, calls me, is beckoning me to be a better version of who I might be, more Christ-honoring and Christ-following and Christ-serving as a follower of His beloved community. This week, I was reading about two towering luminaries of the 20th century, Albert Einstein and Albert Schweitzer. these two Alberts, born 4 years apart in the latter part of the 19th century, growing up in Germany, witnessing the empire, the Weimar Republic, the rise of Nazism, two world wars, and the atomic era, who in the course of their lives both received worldwide decorations and honors and prizes and promotions. Among other things, they received Einstein in 1921, the Nobel Prize for Physics, Schweitzer, the Nobel Peace Prize in 1952. Schweitzer was a brilliant theologian, philosopher, professor, who was well-published and highly respected at the age of 30. He had already written many important books that were formative throughout the 20th century before he was 30 years old, with a distinguished bit of lectures and work in a wide variety of fields, including classical music and Bach and organ. An incredible genius. And so it was incredibly surprising that at the age of 30, he felt God's call to be a missionary. And it was shocking to his friends and his family and to those who knew him and his colleagues that he was going to give up his professorship and enter back into his university, but this time as a beginning medical student. Upon graduation, Albert and his wife Helena traveled to an isolated area of Gabon on the western coast of Africa, and there set up a hospital where for the next four decades they would take care of the patients coming to them, many who had to walk hundreds of miles in order to see the only doctor nearby. Albert Einstein, perhaps more famous than Schweitzer, is remembered as one of the greatest scientists who ever lived, whose theories helped change our understanding of our existence and our universe, giving us new categories on how to think about how we exist and live in the world. But it was this story of Sharona Price that invited me to think more about Albert Einstein and Albert Schweitzer. For she says, throughout his life, Albert Einstein had two portraits on the walls of his home. The great scientists, Newton and Maxwell, they were an inspiration. They summed up the drive of his life. It was all about science. But toward the end of his life, Einstein took the pictures down and replaced them with two others, two great humanitarians, Mahatma Gandhi and Albert Schweitzer. Einstein explained that it was time to replace the image of success with the image of service. Einstein said this about Schweitzer in 1953. "Due to my opinion, he is the only person in the Western world comparable with Gandhi who has had a supernatural moral effect on this generation. As it is with Gandhi, the force of this effect stems mostly from the example which he has given through his practical life's work." Wow. When a genius says that about you, that's really saying something. And there are other 20th century luminaries who took the way of Jesus to heart. Mother Teresa, Dorothy Day, Martin Luther King Jr., and I find such comfort, I hope you do too, in knowing that the century that produced Lenin and Stalin and Mao Zedong and Hitler was also the century that gave us Schweitzer and Gandhi and King and that little saint from Calcutta. And they're still out there. Out there in our community, in our state, in our nation, in our world, out there even in this room, these silent heroes, people, just like Jesus, who never gained much notoriety in their own life, but will be remembered throughout the ages by the impact that they have had on others. Where can you find them? Where are these silent heroes hiding? Well, they're helping dig wells and teaching local populations about water treatment in Central America and in Africa. They're out there, taking the bus into the desert wilderness in order to sit vigil during the heat of the day to advocate for the rights of children and families on our southern border. They're out there, traveling to the hot spots of danger all over the globe where there's great suffering and warfare, seeking to dispense medicine and food and shelter to the desperate and the dying. They're out there. A teacher giving up the little she has to buy supplies for the students in her classroom that needs it. A good Samaritan who goes about each day quietly helping others, even though they barely have enough means to help themselves. A volunteer with the first words on their lips. What can I do? How can I help? Where can I plug in? I have crossed paths with some of these people throughout my life. I'm guessing many of you have as well. In fact, some of you may be some of those folks that people have been blessed when your paths have crossed. Humility does not seek self-promotion. Humility trusts the passing of time and honors every act of service and love, no matter how small it may be. Humility trusts God for our well-being so that we can spend more of our time focused on others. Our scriptures in the fourth chapter of Ephesians tells us that this is a life that is renewed by God in the inner person. That God is constantly calling us, beckoning us, inviting us to this servanthood of grateful humility, this re-energized way of living in the world. Perhaps we can listen to Schweitzer, who explained it this way by paraphrase: if you do not reflect your life back to God in gratitude, then you will never truly know yourself. If you never surrender and return your life back to God in gratitude, then you will never truly know yourself. With grateful humility, reflect your life back to God and watch what God can do with it.